to God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just thank you as we gather here to celebrate Jesus, the birth of Jesus. We thank you for you love us enough to come into this world to reveal yourself to us. Father, as I proclaim your word, I just thank you that you're going to speak to people's hearts. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're going to minister to each person personally, and transformation will come about because your word never returns void. Father, we thank you. We ask all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You know, we are celebrating Christmas, and this message will be broadcast to hundreds of other people. So I will speak to you and speak to my brothers and sisters online. We know that Christ Jesus was not born on December 25th. We know that, so please don't write me a letter. Some of you have written me letters in previous years telling me, oh, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I know that, but we are just blessed to celebrate the season, this time of the year, because as we discussed even before I went on camera, the presence of Christ is evident throughout, and it's a time to raise awareness that God in his love came into this world that he created to reveal himself to us and to save us from ourselves and from sin. So we celebrate Christmas because God became a man, humbled himself, and came into this world. Christmas is not a holiday. I've heard people say that. A lot of times, unfortunately, people who despise this season, and unfortunately, they call it the holidays. It's not a holiday. When people say it's a holiday, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to decrease the power of that word, Christmas. You know what that word means, Christmas? Christ and mass, celebrate. So it's a time that we celebrate Christ the Messiah. And we have discussed several reasons why we celebrate Christmas. A lot of you talked about a time for fellowship, a time for family to get together, a time for sharing gifts, sharing love. That is all true. Christmas is a time of joy, peace, sharing God's love with others, raising awareness about Christ, the Messiah. But there is one key aspect about Christmas that I want to talk about, and we are aware of this, and some of you here alluded to that. And for those of you watching online, we had a session that people shared what Christmas means to them. That's what I'm referring to. So I want to talk about, in my view, the most important reason for Christmas. The most important. I know you're curious. Christmas is about forgiveness. Christmas is about forgiveness. When you think of that word forgiveness, what comes to mind? I'm asking, when you think of forgiveness, what comes to mind? Peace?
Freedom,
liberation, joy, hope, love. You see, forgiveness and love and peace are all interwoven. You cannot give true forgiveness without love. And once you receive true forgiveness, you have peace and joy. So it is all interwoven. No wonder this season is a season that there is a lot of love and joy, because it's all about forgiveness. Let's not forget that. That is the root meaning of this season, love and forgiveness, interchangeably. Now, some of you may ask, when you think of unforgiveness, what comes to mind? Bitterness. When you think of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger,
hurt,
sad, envy,
hate.
Isn't that the opposite of this season? Okay. You know, there was a time in the history of God dealing with mankind that God was at war with the human race. There was a time, as recorded in the Bible, when mankind fell from grace. Genesis chapter 3. We know the story. When Adam and Eve transgressed God's law, and the Bible teaches that sin and death entered into God's perfect world. God was at war with the human race before. When I say war, I'm not talking about physical war. War in the sense that there was a barrier separating direct fellowship with God. Throughout the Old Testament time, the nation of Israel collectively, even the high priest, they could not access God directly. They had to go through the high priest. And that was God being at war with the human race. But God told us something. The moment Adam and Eve missed it, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, God in his love, his goodness, and his grace, God started to talk about forgiveness of the human race. The moment Adam and Eve missed it, God loves us so much, he could not fathom not being with us. So he started talking about, right away, forgiveness of the human race. In Genesis chapter 3, 15, it teaches, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. Okay, before I proceed, who was the serpent?
Satan.
And then God was talking to Adam and Eve. God, they had sinned, and God was pronouncing a judgment to them. And here, Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. God was already letting us know way back in Genesis chapter 3 that he was going to deal with sin through forgiveness, that the Messiah was going to come someday and crush the head of serpent, right? Satan. And of course, Satan was going to strike his heel. Satan made several attempts to get at Jesus Christ, but he was unsuccessful. So because God knew that he had to forgive the human race, he made that promise. And then throughout the entire Old Testament, we saw various types and shadows of Jesus Christ through the nation of Israel. God made provision in the Old Testament law, how sins had to be atoned for, how they had to be forgiven. And we know in Leviticus chapter 16, the Day of Atonement, how the high priest, back then was Aaron, had to get into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sin of the community. So we see how God, we see his hatred for sin, and we see his love of forgiveness already. But besides the fact that he was walking through the nation of Israel, he also spoke through the prophets of the Old Testament that a Messiah would come who would fulfill that gift of what? Forgiveness of the sins of the human race. So one scripture I want to share with you, there are several. Isaiah 7:14 teaches that therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And at the perfect time, in God's perfect timing, the Lord Jesus was born. That promise was fulfilled. And I want to take you now to the New Testament. Let's get into Matthew 1:18 through 19. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, meaning before they had sex, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. When we were having discussion here, one of you guys said that the supernatural, I think it was you, Angie, you said that the thing about Christmas was that miracle of the birth of Christ. So we see how God, who is so faithful, supernaturally, God is going to become a man. So we go to verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law of Moses, and yet did not want to expose her, meaning Mary, to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And if you were to read the rest of that, the angel appeared to Joseph and reiterated that Mary is really pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But we see how God's promise in Genesis chapter 3:15 actually happened in the New Testament. Let me talk about the new birth real quick, because it makes sense why forgiveness is the best gift about Christmas. We know that Jesus Christ is 100% God, 100% man. Do we agree? Yes. Why is that? Most of you here, maybe all of you here know that. The people watching me online may not know that. The supernatural birth was absolutely crucial. Mary was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit supernaturally. Is anything impossible for God? No. Jesus Christ had this supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit. That was essential, that was crucial, because Mary did not have physical relations with Joseph. By Jesus Christ having that perfect seed supernaturally, he bypassed the human race, which was already contaminated by what? The sin from Adam and Eve. And because Jesus was born by a woman, Mary, that made him human being 100%. And because he had this supernatural conception, that made him divine. So Jesus, at his conception, which the Catholics and we all call it Immaculate Conception, did not inherit that sinful seed. Jesus Christ is the only human being in the history of the world who had this experience. Now, why is this important? Please think with me. Why would a mere man like you and I, born of a mere man with sin, forgive my sin? Impossible, right? God needed a perfect man to be the one to pay the price to forgive us of our sins. A perfect man who was sinless, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus Christ had to experience this supernatural divine conception, qualifying him as God to be the one to forgive imperfection. Perfect man, he had no sin, he was a man never sinned, and God. Are we getting this? So God fulfilled the promise. And then we are told throughout the Lord Jesus' ministry, let's fast forward. Gospel of Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And throughout his ministry, if you were to study the ministry of Jesus Christ, he displayed forgiveness at all points. Jesus Christ was in the world forgiving people's sins because of love. Jesus forgave the woman caught in adultery. We know that, right? John, for those of you who are writing, John 7:53-8:11. Jesus forgave the paralyzed man, Mark 2:5-12. Jesus came to forgive, he lived to forgive, he demonstrated forgiveness. On the cross, we know the story out of the Gospel of Luke, he forgave who? The thief on the cross. The ultimate evidence of forgiveness was when he died on the cross for the sins of the human race. 1 John 2:2. No wonder Romans chapter 3 teaches that at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the wrath of God has been met. You know how I mentioned earlier that God was at war with the human race? But when Jesus died for the sins of the world. The Bible teaches us that God is no longer at war with us, because that veil has been torn from top to bottom. We can approach God personally in the name of Jesus, and God will hear us. So Romans 5:10 teaches, and many other scripture, for if while we were God's enemies, remember God was at war with us because of sin, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Christmas is about God's best gift to the human race, forgiveness. Christmas, because without forgiveness, you cannot have joy. Without forgiveness, you cannot have peace. Without forgiveness, you cannot have hope. With unforgiveness, you have fear, worry, anxiety. God is no longer mad at the human race. God has forgiven the human race. And God is available for whosoever wants to receive that forgiveness. So this Christmas, as we celebrate Christ, let us not forget that it is because we have been blessed to receive God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ that we can experience the peace of God, that we can experience the joy of God, that we can have the boldness to go to God directly in the name of Jesus Christ and call upon him. So, since God has blessed us with the gift of forgiveness, we talked about this. Jesus came. He demonstrated forgiveness. He died on that cross. He said, it is finished. Are we still mad at God? Are there people here who are mad at God? You see, what you guys don't realize is that studies of Christians, and I don't want to cite any citation, show that one of the biggest issues that many Christians deal with, guess what? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. They cannot forgive other people. They cannot forgive themselves. The Bible doesn't even say nothing about forgiving yourself anyway. The Bible says, know what? Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Christians harbor bitterness, anger, envy, unforgiveness in their heart. And they call themselves children of God. Yet we are learning that the best gift that Jesus came to give us is forgiveness. Do we have the right to harbor unforgiveness in our heart? So this Christmas, who are you mad at? This Christmas, are you mad at God? Are you mad at your sister, your sibling? If we're gonna enjoy Christmas and celebrate Christmas as Christians and share Christ with others, we will be hypocrites if we have our unforgiveness in our heart and then we are say, Merry Christmas, joy to the Lord. You know what? We have to stop that because God sees the heart. So this Christmas, I want to raise awareness that Christmas is about true forgiveness. I know you've heard this before, and this is not an in-depth teaching on forgiveness. I have like 3 hours of teaching on this topic, but I want to focus this on Christmas. So that when we live here, we have to examine ourselves, examine our hearts, and forgive those that we are holding a grudge against before we even call upon the Lord this Christmas. That's not me speaking, that's Jesus speaking. We're gonna get into that. And you see, the thing about unforgiveness is subtle. It begins with a subtle dislike of somebody. It begins with a subtle, well, how come God didn't do this for me and I pray? It begins with a subtle, oh, my mom didn't treat me right. And then if you don't deal with that thing right away, it festers in your soul, and before you know it, you have placed a wedge between you and God. You've placed a barrier between you and God. Listen, it's not, oh, okay, I'm speaking ahead of myself, but I just feel led by the Holy Spirit to say it right now. Listen, in the 21st century, if you carry unforgiveness, you won't go to hell if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You won't, okay, because Jesus Christ died for all sins, past, present, and future. But you know what it does? It damages your heart and affects your relationship with God because you won't be able to receive from God genuinely with that attitude. Are you with me?
Yes.
Whew, glory to God. Now, Jesus came to forgive. He died forgiving. He is still forgiving. Let me repeat that. Somebody, you need to write this down. Jesus came to forgive. He died forgiving. He is still forgiving. That's profound. Christmas is about God's ongoing forgiveness, which is available to all. It's an ongoing forgiveness. That initial forgiveness was on Calvary's cross. That sinful nature. But we talked about the perfect, precious blood of Jesus Christ. That blood still offers ongoing cleansing. Let me give you a scripture. 1 John 1:9. Powerful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What this is teaching is that when you come to Christ, this is a promise just for believers. Unbelievers cannot claim this promise yet. Unbelievers have to claim John 3:16 first. Unbelievers have to be forgiven of that sinful nature first. Come into this relationship with God through Christ. Then when they miss the mark, they can claim that promise. So if you are a child of God listening to me, if you're here, I believe all of you here, you told me already that you're followers of Jesus Christ. What the scripture and several others are teaching us is that this forgiveness is available. When you miss the mark, when you sin, hopefully you don't, whether it's intentionally or, I don't know, unintentionally, they have all kinds of sins, knowingly and unknowingly. A lot of times, God is so good that we commit sins without even knowing. But the blood just cleanses us. How? How do we commit sins without knowing? I could be walking down the street here in San Bernardino and I see a person who is homeless and needy and I just ignore them. That's sin. That's not sharing God's love. It doesn't mean I have to give them money. I could give them hope. Okay? I could smile, but then I just ignore them. That's being selfish. You know, that's missing the mark. But guess what? That perfect blood of Jesus Christ is sanctifying you, cleansing you. But when you miss the mark intentionally and you're genuine, you come to God, you can claim that promise. So as we're talking about Christmas is about forgiveness. What does this mean to you personally? I want to wrap up the rest of this talk by giving you 7 practical ways that I want you to approach this Christmas and every day. Walking in forgiveness and enjoying the peace of Christmas, the joy of Christmas. Number one, this Christmas, make a decision that you will forgive. Forgiveness is about a decision. God is not going to decide for you. You have to decide. God has given you a free will. It begins with a decision. Forgiveness is about you actually loving God and loving yourself. You have to think and ponder this Christmas, all the people that you have on your list that you are mad at. If I were to take a survey here, I can say 50% of you have some kind of thing with somebody. That's classic. But you have to make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to celebrate this Christmas season with an attitude of forgiveness, because Christmas is about forgiveness. And if I'm going to share Christ with others, I need to forgive. So you have to make that decision. It's not going to feel comfortable. Your flesh will fight you. But we live by what? Faith, not by sight. We don't live by how we feel. We live in accordance with what the Bible tells us. The Bible says, forgive, you forgive. So you do an inventory of your heart, because the Bible even teaches us we should examine ourselves daily, see if we are in the faith. How many of you examine your heart every day? Am I holding a grudge against somebody? The Bible says we should do that, because it's good for us. So we should have purity of heart, because carrying that spirit of unforgiveness will affect your relationship with God. So number one, make a decision that honestly, it doesn't matter what they did to me. It doesn't matter how I feel. I am going to make a decision to forgive because it's good for me. And you know what? The Lord Jesus, as I said earlier, he demonstrated forgiveness. He came to forgive. He lived to forgive. He died forgiving. And he is still forgiving. Isn't that awesome? Wow. If you just ponder on that, you meditate on that, you will not harbor unforgiveness in your heart. It's I ponder on the fact that he came to forgive. He lived forgiveness. He died forgiving. And he is still forgiving. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you about forgiveness? It's one of the most important things that you need to do in your Christian walk. And likewise, it's one of the things that will prevent you from receiving God's best forgiveness.